Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is John Bowles, who is a serial entrepreneur who over the past 12 years has built 12 successful brands, sold two of them, and has built and consulted over 350 brands for clients. He is now growing his nationally recognized award-winning agency and has had the privilege of working with prestigious brands like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, and many others. Today, we're going to be discussing John's journey of building Avintiv and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, John.
Thank you for having me. Very excited.
Awesome. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So Absolutely. Where are you tuning in from today?
Scottsdale, Arizona. One of the fastest growing cities post-pandemic. So it's craziness out here right now.
Very exciting. And tell us, how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So into digital marketing or more so the agency space?
Into digital marketing to start. And then I'd love to hear about your story about starting your agency from there.
Yeah. So, 12 or 13 years ago, I moved, I'm from Racine, Wisconsin. So I moved to the big city, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which, had 1.7 or 2.7 million people. Is big jump for me. Mm-hmm. I got started in the nightlife and hospitality industry, quickly became, well-known. I'm a social butterfly. I love networking. I had the lowest paid job that you could ever have as a bar back, then the bar owners noticed that I knew everybody in the bar. They were all my friends. They all came to see me. I got promoted to, promoter, manager, general manager. Then I owned a couple establishments. But through that process, I learned that, okay, what is promotions? What is marketing? What is branding? How do you brand an event? How do you brand a night? And then I started learning about personal branding and how you compose yourself and how you talk and all these different things. And, digital marketing wasn't really prevalent back then. Social media was just getting off the ground. MySpace, just going to show how old I am, but MySpace, was a few years before that. Now then everyone's on Facebook. So there wasn't Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, all these things, that are out right now. So my digital marketing experience is more on the promotional end of things, social media, things like that. And it kind of just led from one thing to the next. So I was in the nightlife and hospitality industry, owned some establishments that moved on to the technology space where I really started to learn digital marketing, where we had to do a lot of inbound marketing, a lot of blogs, a lot of content creation, a lot of SEO, different types of, advertising mediums. Then that led into consulting, which led into a couple of other companies. So it's just kind of evolved since then, but it's all been self-taught. It's all been, self-made. So I went to college, dropped out my junior year, launched my first company as a junior. We did $2 million in revenue that year through the clients that we were working with and didn't really need, I needed to sit in college and hear from professors that never owned a business or didn't have the experience I was looking to obtain. So I dropped out my junior year and just became obsessive with learning, obsessive with research, obsessed. Still to this day, I'm obsessive with anything I put my mind to.
Yeah.
And I go down every wormhole possible to learn all aspects of something. So that's kind of how it's evolved. It's been, you bootstrap it, when your back is against the wall, you come from nothing, you're self-made, you don't take handouts from anybody. And, you obviously delegate to your employees, but there's not one thing my employees do within any of my businesses that I don't know how to do or that I wouldn't be willing to do. And I think that's what makes a great leader and a great business owner versus being so hands-off. You could be getting screwed over with payroll and them not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But my journey has really allowed me to, roll up my sleeves and get dirty, if you will.
It's so interesting. Such an interesting story. I love that. And so what was the deciding factor to start an agency and start up Avintiv?
Great question. So I had an e-commerce company that was growing like wildfire. It was an activewear brand called Modus Apparel. We were very big in the fitness industry. Back when the fitness industry was booming, the term influencer got created from the fitness industry. Now everyone's an influencer. So we were definitely in the cusp of all of that going on. And our company was growing like wildfire. We were growing 500,000%. And then all of a sudden something shifted, something changed. And Instagram changed their algorithm. Facebook changed their algorithm. So we started growing a little bit slower than what we were used to. So I really had to learn how to do digital marketing even better. I looked at hiring a couple agencies and I kept getting screwed over. You know, OfferUp wasn't out back then. There were no freelancers back then. It was contractors, but I hate to say it, it was like the wild, wild west, you know, 6-7 years ago in the contractor world. Because a lot of people weren't contractors. They didn't know that they could have a side hustle or a side business. So we used a couple of contractors. We got screwed over. They tried to blackmail us. They took all of the website over, won't give us access until we paid them X. Then we tried to you know, reach out to a couple agencies. We weren't spent, I think we were spending like $15,000 a month on ads and marketing, which to me 7 years ago was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Some agencies were like, oh yeah, our minimum is $50,000 a month or $60,000 a month to work with us. And you know, I was like, okay, I'm not that guy. So we hired a couple smaller agencies and come to find out my accountant, which is why I now know accounting like the back of my hand, came to me a couple months in and he's like, or she was like, your reporting is off. They're not sending, your ROAS is not that. They're not, your revenue is not that. They're fluffing the reports. So you're getting false information. And we kept getting false information. That's back when Facebook ads first launched, where there were two different metrics that you could follow for revenue. Now they've gotten it dialed in. But before, you would be able to show all the traffic that goes to the website technically shows a revenue, but they were attributing all of our revenue and all of our traffic or the majority of it to their Facebook ads. And I couldn't prove that it wasn't happening until I dove in. Wow. So I had to cancel the relationships. I went all in on our company, hired a designer, hired, you know, a couple other people, learned web development and web design myself, learned graphic design, had to, you know, be self-taught with everything. And then, you know, ironically, a lot of local businesses and national businesses started reaching out through our corporate email and contact form. And they're like, hey, this is super awkward, but would you mind doing the introduction to the agency that did your logo or who's running your Instagram or who did your website? Like it looks so beautiful. I'm sorry if this is weird. And I'm like, holy cow, I built the website. I, you know, we designed the logo, we did this. And a light bulb went off and I started going down the wormhole again of reaching out to other entrepreneurs that I knew, other businesses, did my own research and due diligence. And I said, wow, there's really a need in the marketplace to have an agency where you're the white knights at the end of the day. You actually care about a business owner succeeding. Yeah. And the downside, and I'm friends with a lot of agency owners, so I don't want to talk bad, but one of the downsides of a lot of agencies out there is they're not serial entrepreneurs. They haven't built tons of companies. It's their first company. And you know, they don't fully care as much about the little guy or medium guy. Like I'm through and through entrepreneur. Even when I was 4 years old, I was talking about being a business owner. So I feel like my blood, sweat, and tears are with the entrepreneur community, right? So like we all bloom together. So I get what the average entrepreneur is going through, regardless if they have a $1 billion brand like some of our clients, or if they just started out. Like it's the same fear, the same limiting beliefs. And that's really truly what led me into launching the agency. We did more revenue in our first month of business than 2 months in our e-commerce space. And I was like, okay, you know, e-commerce was great, but Lululemon was blowing up. A lot of our competitors were blowing up. I was able to actually sell the company to an investment firm on the East Coast, go all in on the ADC, and you know, here we are.
Amazing. So when you were first starting out with your agency, how did you bring on those first few clients?
My network is pretty vast. So I've done a really good job with my personal brand ever since my nightlife career. I'm blessed enough, even though I'm a little introverted, I'm blessed enough to know how to network and know how to build a personal brand. So every business I've ever had, it's been very low capital infusion needed to get it off the ground just because I know whoever I need to know, or I can easily find out who are the people I need to know to, like, if I work with them, they're going to tell five more people. Or if they find out that this huge brand is working with us, then all the other brands in that industry are going to want to work with us. So it was really word of mouth. You know, it just picked up like wildfire of, you know, once you go all in for a brand and you help them out and you're like the savior that they've been looking for a while, they tell everybody about it. They're screaming from the mountaintops. And that's really, you know, 80% of our business has been grown off referral. Like, don't get me wrong, we do our own digital marketing and things like that. We've done millions of dollars in revenue just off of our phenomenal clients just talking positively about us, because they've Amazing. Never had the experience outside of working with us, where they know that when they sign on, you know, services agreement, they know that John Bowles or the entire Eventive team are going to treat their brand as if it's our own. So if someone's spending $20,000 a month with us, in my mind, in my team's mind, it's not them spending 20 grand. It's me spending 20 grand. It's us spending 20 grand. And yeah. every dollar is if it's coming out of our personal bank account. And when you have that type of equity on the line, mm-hmm. businesses really want to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting. So how are you constantly, I know that you're constantly educating yourself and just learning everything, soaking everything you can with entrepreneurship. So how do you become a better salesperson for your agency so that whenever prospects are coming in, you're able to effectively sell your services and close those prospects?
Yeah. So actually I would take a reverse answer, a reverse question. So the average person is like, I read this sales book, I've read that. I'm a huge, you know, I read a lot of books, but I was born with a phenomenal sales ability. One thing that the listeners will probably listen to is, wow, this guy's a storyteller. One of my innate abilities is storytelling. I'm very good at explaining things. I'm very good at just talking, and I light up with energy, which I'm sure you can see.
Yeah.
So I haven't really had to learn how to sell or had to evolve with sales. I've actually had to do the opposite. So one thing is, you scale your agency, you make it so complex. How do I sell this? How do I do this? How do I deliver the perfect pitch? We've done the complete opposite. We've scratched all the complex issues out of our company. How to explain this? And we have a proprietary process now. We do it with every single client. It rolls off my tongue because you've done it so many times. So it's not so much what I had to learn or research or evolve into. It just comes with experience. When you build so many brands and you follow the same process and you're in the trenches with your clients every single day, it's almost like 99% of my life is business and 1% is personal life. So it's almost just like I'm having a normal conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing with authenticity that sells. You know, I had a sales call yesterday, and the gal that hopped on the call, wanted a logo. We don't do just logos, right? We do brand, you know, brand consulting, we do brand packages, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you familiar with client so-and-so? And she's like, oh my God, they just got brought up to me in a conversation yesterday. I saw their website. It's beautiful. I'm like, are you similar to them? She's like, exactly. I'm like, we built that brand. We did X, Y, and Z. Do you know so-and-so? Because I knew she knew him. She's like, yeah, that's my mentor. He taught me everything I know. I was like, we're finishing up their website right now. So I do enough research to know who I'm talking to and what the pain points are and how to do like NLP and like get them really excited, bring them down a little bit, and then, you know, go into leading them to exactly what we both want. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a little bit of training with coaching and life coaching and things that I kind of throw into it. But the biggest thing that I do at the agency is it has to be a win-win scenario. I don't ever want to work with someone where we're profiting a ton of money on them or where the client is, you know, making one on us. It's a win-win yeah. situation. And when our client wins and their customers win and keep going back to them because we've provided such a phenomenal brand experience, you know, it's a win for us because we just made two people happy.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That's the best way to be in business. And then, you know, you're just building those rock solid relationships that are going to result in referrals at the end of the day. And like you said, everyone wins.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. We've done tons of ad campaigns. We've done all the HBCOs and high value content offers and all these different things. Our organic SEO and referrals have grown so much. And don't get me wrong, our business is not perfect by any means. So I want to make it seem like we have everything answered. But anytime we've launched those ads, we've actually had to pause them immediately because the organic leads and the organic traction we get was so fast and so quick, we couldn't keep running ads because we were growing too quickly. So one thing we do at our agency is we only take on so many clients until we're able to add more team members, right? A lot of agencies keep saying yes, 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 yes. And then they don't, you know, the scope doesn't get done or the projects take 3 months too long. We don't do that at our agency. I've invested millions of dollars on the brand, the naming, the positioning, everything, you know, and it's, you know, everything that's involved with it. So if we do one wrong thing to a client or a customer because we get greedy and we want to grow more, that kills the entire business model. So why would you put all this money into the brand if you're just going to speed through things and cookie cutter and just try to profit a ton of money? We're not in it for the profit. We're in it for the impact. We really, truly want to work with clients that are making a global impact or a local impact. Mm-hmm. And we feel that through the projects that we work on them with.
Very cool. And then, so do you guys serve a specific niche, or are you pretty broad in the industries that you serve?
So great question. Every one of my mentors has basically told me over the past couple of years, they're like, Bowles, you need to niche down. You need to niche down. And I've always said respectfully, no, I don't want to niche down. You know, this is, you know, my, you know, I think it was my 10th or 11th company that I started. And I realized through my years of entrepreneurship is my passion comes from helping other entrepreneurs. My passion, why I was put on this earth, was to help other brands and other business owners and change the world, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to work with just plumbers or just automotive or just medical or just health and wellness. And my proof in the pudding happened during the pandemic. What happened to agencies that niched down and all their businesses were closed? They went under. They had to lay off everybody. Guess what happened during the pandemic? We grew 250%. Because all of our, we had clients in different sectors and different things. So predominantly the clients that we work with are in the health and wellness space. That's your medical spa, your natural medicine, your cannabis, CBD. We have a lot of very big cannabis and CBD brands. We're in the energy sector. So we have clients within the power plant manufacturing space. One of our clients, RWBH Energy, has government contracts with the FBI headquarters, CIA, Amazon, Pentagon. So like the fact that we're able to work with a client that's doing all the lighting and solar panels and windows for all these huge, you know, government buildings is really cool.
Amazing.
And then we have a lot of fitness and e-commerce brands as well. So, you know, but we're very, when you have the experience of building brands from the inside out, like my team, my junior graphic designers know what cost of goods sold are. They know what fixed costs are. So usually when you work with an agency or a brand, they're like, oh, like, but this costs this. Like my whole team knows how to build a business. They know exactly the components of how a business is supposed to operate. So essentially when you know the unit economics and operational, you know-how of how businesses operate, there's really not an industry that we couldn't evolve into or that we couldn't grow into. It comes down to, do we want to work in an industry? Does it make us happy? Does it, or is our team going to fall asleep as they're designing a new website? So,
yeah,
you know, we have a niche down like that, but we have gone after clients that are at a certain size. So, mm-hmm. You know, the typical clients we work with, if they're at the startup phase, they have to go through a series round of funding, or they have to have partners that have funding. We're definitely not at the stage anymore to where it's, hey, this is my first company. You know, I have $20,000 to invest. Unfortunately, with how expensive our costs are and our employees and everything like that, it's usually funded startups or it's businesses that are already over $2 million in revenue or, you know, that the ideal customer is on the startup phase or they've hit a plateau. A lot of people after the pandemic came to us and said, hey, you know, we're a multi-million dollar business, but we haven't grown that much over the past couple of years. And they follow the same process we have as if it was a startup. And then you have your founders and business owners that have a 3 or 4 person team. They're in the e-com space. They're growing like the speed of light and they just can't manage it anymore. They can't handle the marketing anymore. It's too big for them now. And then they outsource it to us and we're now the in-house marketing team for them.
Very cool. So are there any drawbacks that you have noticed from serving such a wide variety of industries? I was speaking to an agency owner the other day and he was just talking about how when he's writing proposals, so he doesn't serve a specific niche and he was finding, you know, writing proposals for all these different industries he found to be challenging. Is there anything like that that you've encountered?
No, we don't necessarily run into that because we have a pretty phenomenal process of, and it's funny, like we have these beautiful looking proposals with, you know, social proof and all of these different things. We have enough social proof now that when someone's coming to us, they've already heard of us, they've heard of me, they already have done their due diligence. And we ask them like, hey, would you rather us extend the sales process or, you know, this process another 5 days and we'll deliver a phenomenal, beautiful proposal? Or would you like a simple branded document, you know, PDF doc that shows everything, gets down to the nook and cranny numbers? They're like, Bowles, I don't have time. Send me the crappiest looking whatever. So we've been sending like PDF quote sheets of it and we've closed 3 times the amount of deals by just getting straight to the numbers versus going and doing these beautiful RFP proposals and these, you know, 30 page documents. Those cost us like $800 every time we do it from our designers having to tweak all these different things. So
yeah,
no, we don't run into issues with that. The issues we run into is if it's a new industry, obviously you want to have a scalable business, right? So a repeatable scalable business would obviously be more successful when you have one type of a client, right? Because you can duplicate that process across the board. That becomes very profitable. So when we take on a new client, so for instance, like we took on a new manufacturing power plant client. It took a little bit of time for us to learn that business model, understand the lingo of the metal in China and how you build power plants in the energy sector and all these different things. So it's a little bit slower to the gate of us having to do the research. The first couple articles are SEO. We have to get the client's feedback. So it's a little bit slower than running 100 miles an hour right away, but we're very transparent about that. We're like, hey, just so you know, we haven't been in your industry before. You know who we are. You know who I am. You know we'll get the job done. You know we'll knock it out of the park, but we want your expectations to be met right day one. We don't want to sell you false expectations. It's going to take us 90 days to really learn your business like you know your business. So there are some drawbacks with that. When we bring on new content writers or new, you know, marketing employees and they haven't done marketing in a certain industry, it's then a little bit extra training. So the cost of goods sold are a little bit higher for the first 90 to 180 days. So there are some drawbacks, but my team is very happy working on multiple industries, multiple projects, because if it was all health and wellness or all like plumbing or roofing or contractors, like everyone would be, it'd be cookie cutter. They'd be tinkering around. They'd be dead in face, you know, dead tired in the face. Every day for our team is interesting. It's exciting. And there's a new problem to tackle, right? Even if it's not a problem, we act as if it's the problem and how can we solve it?
Yeah. Interesting. So how do you work with members of your team to really help them grow as professionals and help them to stay loyal to the company?
Great question. So I would say that culture is probably the strongest thing we have at our agency. It's something that I, you know, I got picked on a lot all throughout school, grade school, high school. You know, when you grow up in Wisconsin and you are living in the clouds, as my teachers would call it, and you want to be an entrepreneur and be that guy, and entrepreneurship back then wasn't popular. It wasn't sexy like it is today. So mm-hmm. I got bullied and made fun of a lot through my adolescence, went through trauma, you know, everyone has it. So I think that the hell and back that I've gone through as a human being has so much empathy for other human beings that that's what we instill in our culture. So my operations and HR specialist, who's, you know, my right hand within the company, she's got two master's degrees in psychology. She did social work. So we really understand how to treat people at our company. So the biggest thing is, you know, let's just say we had to switch our entire recruiting process because the pandemic messed everything up where no one wanted to work anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the pain point we've had, which we can talk about. But really what we do is we have a 5-step, very, very precise hiring process that we follow. Then we have an onboarding process that's built for every single department, every single role, which involves a series of training. Each training is different for each role. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect by any means. We're actually in the process, probably with next year. We don't probably can't fit it into this year. We're actually building the Avintiv Academy. So it's going to be a digital platform to where if you want to be, if you're a junior graphic designer and your goal one day is to be a creative director, an art director, or a senior graphic designer, we're actually going to have a series, all professional videos, renting out a green screen room. And it's going to be a full, you know, like you're going to college, but it's going to be only for Avintiv employees that get to learn how to be a better SEO, how to be a better, you know, marketer, et cetera. But right now it's a lot of handholding. It's a lot of, you know, I'm very much in the business because we're growing so much. So the typical agency, you're not getting the CEO to meet with you, to talk with you, to help you, to coach you. So we have a phenomenal management team, and it's not, we don't fire somebody after they make an error. We actually promote errors. We promote messing up. We promote you failing so you can learn from it, right? We're never going to be perfect. And at our agency, it's treating our team like they're human beings, right? So when you go above and beyond for them from that aspect, but not only that, you know, my background is consulting and life coaching and you know, that realm. I've hired some of the top coaches. So I understand how coaching works and how to help people. Mm-hmm. So does my my operations and HR specialist. So what we did is we have team huddles every single morning at 9 a.m. and we go over our schedule for the day, what our number one goal is for the day, if anyone can help us, and what we're grateful for the day. So we start each day with gratitude. So psychology shows when you start your day with gratitude on what you're grateful for, it gets you away from thinking about your annoying significant other, your dog barking, or like you spilling coffee this morning. It really puts our team in a positive standpoint. We have phenomenal team meetings throughout the week, and then we surprise our team, you know, monthly or quarterly with, you know, a little Uber Eats gift card or Starbucks or like little things. Since we're remote, it just shows them that they're always at the top of mind. We have surprise bonuses here and there to where, you know, it's maybe 180 days in, they haven't hit their full year, and we're like, hey, just, you know, you've been crushing it. We're actually going to give you, you know, one of your bonuses a little bit earlier. So it's little things like that. If our team is going through anything personal with their significant other, or if I can tell someone is down on a call because I'm very empathetic, so I can feel through a screen. Yeah. If someone's down, I'll actually ask if they can pause their calendar and like hop on a 15-minute call with me. And I'll hear them out, I'll let them talk, and then I'll do a little bit of coaching with them if they give me permission, and it changes their entire day around. So really
that's so cool.
Kind of like an incubator of like positivity. And on average, each of our employees loses between 15 to 30 pounds when working with us. They eat healthier, they get healthier, their relationships get better, and they just believe in themselves a lot more. The workforce is very kind of evil in a way where, you know, it's always the business trying to profit and putting people down and managers putting people down. And that's what happens with a lot of big corporations, not everybody, but a lot of big corporations. So the fact that we're still boutique in size and work with a lot of, you know, massive clients now, I really like that because we still have a very personal relationship with each other. We're not a little village of 150 employees running around to where I don't know anyone's names anymore.
Yeah. That's so interesting because you really are the sum of who you surround yourself with. So that's really cool that you guys have created that incubator of, you know, just a support team for all of your team members. So, and I absolutely love that you guys are doing the academy as well. I think that's really unique and super exciting.
That's like my baby project coming up, but my team keeps telling me like, John, there's so many more rocks that we need to work on before we can do the academy. I was like, but I want it so bad.
It's so cool. Yeah. No, I absolutely love that. Awesome. So what would you say is the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
I would say that's a loaded question predominantly because, you know, like you said in the intro, you know, I've been blessed enough to work and scale and build over 350 to 400 brands. This is by far the hardest business model I've ever tried to master. So when you own an agency, it's really two to three businesses in one, right? You have your own in-house team where you need to manage payroll and operations and cost of goods and, you know, finance and marketing and branding. But then you have your sales and marketing where you need to get more leads and more customers and more this. But then you're also managing 20 or 30 brands that are way bigger than you, and you're managing their branding, the marketing, the messaging, the, you know, everything that, you know, is outside of the operations, which we don't really focus. We consult with them, but we don't really focus on operations too much at this time. Mm-hmm. But the hardest thing is not in an agency world that is self-funded, you know, at our size, like I could easily go get funding tomorrow and grow this thing with 100 employees. It's not my vision. It's not my forte. So when there's one partner and there's one owner, it's like a seesaw. There's always a side that's going to be off balance. And that's either, okay, we need to grow the brand and bring in more clients one month. So then you focus on sales and marketing and referrals and, you know, SEO, et cetera. And then you have an influx of customers and business, but then it's like, okay, so the seesaw is up now. Now we need to focus on hiring more employees. So now you have to run to this side of the business and hire more employees. The biggest problem we've had over the past year has been hiring. So as I'm sure you're aware, since you're in the agency space, industry wide, all of our clients are running into the issues. It's gotten better over the past 60 days, but hiring and HR got flipped upside down post pandemic, where employers used to be in charge. Now employees are in charge. Yeah. I want more PTO. I like working at home with my husband. I need more pay. I need more this. And unfortunately, the world is also in a very victim state of mind, where it's everyone's acting as if this happened to them and they need, you know, they need more of this and that to kind of cover what they just went through. So that's the kind of crappy part about being an employer right now, where a lot of all of the bad things that have happened over the past 2 years are kind of getting lumped into like they're in, you know, like we're trying to hire, you know, for a couple of marketing roles, and we're having to go 20,000 over market value right now, and we're still getting turned down on the call.
And wow, that is insane.
They maybe have 16 months of experience.
Yeah. Like,
none at all. So the biggest thing is just keeping up with what parts of the business need your attention, and scaling and not scaling too quickly, right? It's a good problem to have where cash flow is amazing, but if you grow too quickly where you don't have a big enough team to provide the services that you're selling, that opens up legality, experience, et cetera. So really the biggest thing is understanding how to put all the pieces together. And it really took us 4 years to get everything dialed in, from our processes to our sales and marketing to, okay, when we take an influx of business on, this is really what happens to the operations and finances when we're understaffed or overstaffed. Like, so it takes years of experience to get to that point. But the number one pain point I would say our agency has, it's not really scalability in sales and marketing anymore, because that, you know, that comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. It's really finding rock stars that can sit in the right seat. A lot of people now, they fake it till they make it, and they list all these things that they did, but really they were a contractor that only did 2% of that project, but they're acting as if they were the lead, you know, engineer on it or the lead SEO on it. So it's just weeding through a lot of the BS right now. And I'm very good at weeding through the BS. But I'm also not our hiring manager, right? So it's, you know, that's not my job to go through HR. I'm the last result. So like the third time we do the interview, that's where I hop on the call and do my due diligence. But man, people aren't responding to emails. They're super hyped up and super excited. We're on email number, you know, we're on interview number three, and they just ghost us. Can't get a hold of them. They're still working at their company that they hate, they loathe. So it's just a very interesting time where a lot of things in HR just don't make sense. Like we've been doing so long. My HR manager has so much experience. None of us, including our clients across every industry, none of us have ever seen what's going on right now.
Yeah. It's so interesting how the landscape's really changed. I was speaking to an agency owner recently who she's so desperate to be trying to just maintain that loyalty with her team members. She's implemented a 4-day work week just to see how it goes. And she's testing it out. So yeah, it's kind of calling for drastic measures, really. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with that, just because one, if your team is needing four, just my own personal opinion, nothing bad against that owner, but if your team is needing a 4-day, are they burnt out? What's going on? Why do they want a 4-day? Is it more the victim mentality and the cancel culture right now, and they're wanting to be like the mainstream? But my clients, you know, our clients that are paying us top dollar, if they're needing something on a Friday and we took a 4-day work week, they're not going to want to work. They're going to go somewhere else that's actually putting in a 5-day work week.
So yeah, I like
the sound of it, but it's not really ideal. If I were to be that owner, I would have a 4-day work week. I would have team A, team B. Team A works Monday through Thursday. Team B works Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah, so you'd have to.
4-day work weeks, but you're covering the whole week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd have to stagger it, because there's just in the agency space, you've got to be available at least those 5 days a week.
Oh man, like
at least.
Yes, agency space is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, where do you see Avintiv in 5 years' time?
That's a great question. In 5 years, I think we'll probably scale to probably around 35 to 45 employees. Continuing with the size of the clients we're working with a lot of $500 million to $1 billion clients now, where, you know, during the pandemic, they realized how much their costs were. We're having a team of 20, you know, now they can outsource it to an agency like us for pennies on the dollar versus 20, you know, salaries and things like that.
Yeah.
Continuing, you know, we're in the process of trademarking our entire brand, our process, really honing in on what we offer, and really growing an in-house team where they only focus on Avintiv. You know, I don't want to have the same teams that's working on our clients working on us. So it's really getting the employees to a 35 to 45, maybe even 50 type of level. You know, we're definitely over the 10, 20 million ARR type level. We have a lot of MRR coming in. But really I want to evolve this agency into an angel investment fund. So I'm working with a couple of partners next 2 years. We've actually already started raising, you know, kind of side raising capital, but essentially we're going to have an investment arm attached to Avintiv, to where, you know, if you've been working with us for a while, I know what numbers you're doing because we have access to your books and your e-com, whatever. Every one of our clients looks for capital, whether it's a small business loan, whether it's an investor. I would say 70% of our clients right now have investors. They've already gone through their Series A or Series B. I would like to be a part of that with our investment firm. And in doing that, you have to use the Avintiv for a certain number of years. And then I also have a credit card processing company with a partner, to where a lot of our clients use our credit card processing to save them on cost. So it's kind of a three-peat hold, where you're using our agency, you're taking our funding, so we're kind of like a bank. We own equity in your company, and you're using our credit card processing, making money there, but we're also saving you money at the same time. So
cool.
Yeah. Not that I'm looking to sell anytime soon, but you know, we've had a lot of offers recently, and agencies are getting eight to 12 times EBITDA. So picture what an EBITDA would look like if an agency is doing 20 or 30 million in revenue, your investment fund is doing X, and then your credit card processing is doing X. That's a $200 million buyout.
Absolutely. That's so inspiring. I love that. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly. Is there anything else that you would like to add to any agency owners who are listening that you think would be helpful?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the size or where people are at in their career with agency owners. If they, you know, agencies got very popular over the past couple of years, where tons of, you know, people reach out. Like, I just started an agency, and they're 21 years old or 22 years old, and you know, that's awesome that they're trying to do that. But if there's anyone listening out there that are just getting started, or you know, they don't know how to keep growing their business, it's not working out, just keep going, right? If you don't have, if you don't have a lot of experience, like I had 10 years of experience building brands before I started an agency. If I didn't have any experience, I would have fell flat on my face. So if anyone's listening to this, learn all aspects of what you need to learn, just keep powering it through, but don't chase the shiny toys. Don't chase the money. Don't chase the services, because it's gonna boost up your MRR or your revenue. Actually deliver services that you know you can deliver on. Focus on that one or two service offerings, go all in on it, become authorities within those service offerings, and then you can scale up from there. And that's really what helped us evolve. And don't pay attention to what anyone else is doing. I'm aware of my surroundings, but we don't pay attention to any competitor in the space. I don't care what any other agency is doing. I don't care the size. I don't care the revenue. We do exactly who we are, and we learn who we are. And it's a lot of people make the mistake of looking at their competitor and like, oh, they just got another 20 employees. Like, I'm a loser. Like, I need to get my stuff together. Like, you can't compare yourself to what someone else is going through or where they're at in their journey. And just do you, and focus on providing an impact versus what your revenue is. A lot of people get in the agency space thinking there's a lot of money, and there is, but don't chase money, chase impact. Do the services that you know are going to change someone's life. And that's really what we did. We shrunk down our service offerings by 60% and went all in on those three or four service offerings. And that's why we've grown so much. But if I was still offering Instagram management, social media management, Facebook ads, all these things that we were good at, but we weren't rock stars at, we weren't better than the other person at, we wouldn't have grown to where we are today. And we're still, in my eyes, like, we're a great size, but I look at it as we're just getting started. I just started yesterday. Like, we're so humble about it, of there's so much more left to do. That's the exciting part.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. I love it. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Oh, and you did not let me know what these are, FYI, for people that are listening.
No, you're going to do them on the fly. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
That's a tough question, because I read probably 30 or 40 books a year. I'll go a little bit spiritual here. So I'm not sure what the listeners are into, but The Power of Now is by far, from Eckhart Tolle, is one of the most impactful books I've ever read. It teaches you how to go inward, how to stay present. And when you're in the agency space, your brain is racing a million miles an hour of fixing rocks and problems and all these things. Yeah. And The Power of Now really teaches you to go inward, meditate on it, become present. And really, with all the hell I've gone through in my life and the trauma and experiences, you know, that we, you know, obviously didn't touch on today, I've had to go very inward, which is a very dark and scary and lonely process. And you really need to learn who you are to be able to be put in the hot seat. Like, being the CEO of a fast growing agency, like, you're in the hot seat every day with companies that are 100 times your size. You need to know who you are and be level headed and be present enough to know how to handle situations without losing your cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that book. And yeah, that's part of the reason why I think having like a rock solid morning routine and having that time to just like meditate, even if you only have 10, 15 minutes, I think it's like such a powerful practice.
I literally just posted on Instagram today, it was a picture, and I said, I meditate every morning for 15 minutes. I journal for 5 minutes, and I list my five gratitudes every single day. Clockwork.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do that as well. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that was my next question, actually. What's your morning routine? Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, so my morning routine is, you know, I do need my 8 hours of sleep. Obviously, when I was a younger entrepreneur in my, you know, 20s and late 20s, I was sleeping 3-4 hours a night, working 20 hours a day. I really, you know, at my age now, really need, you know, 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. So I usually wake up around 6:30. I have obviously a glass of water. I go straight to the gym. I get motivated. I get a nice pump in. I then come home, shower, get dressed, you know, for work. And then I do my meditation. So it's 15 to 20 minutes of meditation. Sometimes it's silent meditation. Sometimes it's a YouTube meditation, where I'm going over gratitudes. I then journal for about 5 or 10 minutes just on what's on my head, what's happened over the past 24 hours. What are my intentions for the day? And then I list out 5 things I'm really grateful for.
I love that. That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not really. No,
I know you mentioned that you pretty much like to stay focused on what you guys
are doing. I like to stay focused. I will say one of my buddies, Chris Ronzio, is the CEO of Trainual. Him and I go back about 7 or 8 years. He was actually one of the first consultants, and he's a close buddy now, but he's one of the first consultants I hired to help with processes in our agency. And man, okay. You know, he owned a consulting company, and he turned it into Trainual. I think they just got a $74 million evaluation in their second year of business. Like the shark is a business partner. Indeed CEO's investor. Like they just did a huge round of funding, but that's a CEO that I really, even though he's a close friend, I really look to for advice. I see what he's doing. He's built a phenomenal culture. He's scaled a couple thousand percent year over year. And I really look up to him, you know, of how to be a mature professional CEO, you know, I think he's like 4 or 5 years older than me, but at the 35 year old level, what is it like being a CEO of 75 employees or 100 employees? Because, you know, I've had that many employees with previous companies. It's a little bit different with Avintive. Oh, did I freeze?
Yep, it's good now though.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so Chris Ronzio is someone that I definitely look at to see what he's doing. Trainual is a phenomenal company. He's built a phenomenal culture and they've scaled like crazy. So that's, you know, outside of him, there's really not many people that I pay attention to. Obviously, I know what's going on with the Tony Robbins of the world, Elon Musk. Like I look up to a lot of those guys reading their books, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But there's not like a CEO in particular that I follow what they do.
Got it. Okay, perfect. And what is your favorite online tool?
Favorite online tool? I would say ClickUp right now, just because with how much we've grown and how big our team is, that you need to have a project management tool that out there that is adaptive and a company that's growing even faster than us. So they're always updating their platform. They're always updating with things. I really love that. And I know our marketing and SEO team really loves SEMrush. So those are like our two right-hand tools that we pay a lot of money for, but we get a lot of value from.
That's amazing. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
To just be myself and believe in myself versus trying to be all these different people and trying to change. And you know, you have to go inward to find out who you truly are with mm-hmm. anything in life. If you're focused on becoming successful, rich, famous, et cetera, getting the girl or guy of your dreams, you're focused on all these external things. I wish I would have known. Actually, I don't wish I would have known because I love where I'm at. I love my journey. But if I had to go back to my younger self, I would have patted him on his back and told him he was an amazing human being and just go all in on being your true self. And there was going to be some amazing things on the other side of that rainbow.
Such great advice. That's amazing. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, John. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I added a little bit of value.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.